And now we'll hand over to the respondent, who will be reviewing and looking at the whole of today's session. So I hand over to Gustavo More, architect from the Dominican Republic and the editor of the Archives of Architecture for the Antilles. Thank you, Gustavo.
Hello. This is my first visit to Jamaica. It's been years wanting to come, and it's really a dream come true. I'm happy for many reasons. I'm happy because at last I've been able to visit friends that have visited me in Dominican Republic before, people that I have met many times during my trips around the region. So I'm glad and I'm honored really, and I thank very much the MoMA people, the UTEC people for inventing and developing this wonderful location. You really do not know how difficult it is to do this. I've been struggling in the Caribbean for more than 20 years, and this is the first time that people from Colombia, Mexico, Trinidad, Jamaica, Bahamas, Dominican, English, Spanish, small people, big people, black, white people get together. Please, I want to applaud this. Thank you. I thought I was going to speak in Spanish, but it seems like I'll be doing it in English, so bear with me. In our language, respondent, un respondón, it's a very ugly thing. So I'll try not to do that, and I'll try to be as brief as I can, okay? But the question that this lady made a while ago, I was surprised it took so long, because it's always the same question. Who are we? What is that we're doing that make us different from the Argentinian or from the North American or from the Mexico, whatever, you know? And I think it's a valid question that has taken me many years to understand, and I have come with many answers, and I will try to share that with you, because I think one of the main reasons to be here is perhaps to understand the possibility of an answer. And I would go through my readings, and perhaps the thing that I have found the most frequently is the idea of an architecture of the open air, the architecture of open space, nature and architecture. That's a concept that comes from the Ajupa book of John Newell Lewis, who knows that from Trinidad, from the Edwin Walter Palm books on the monuments of the Hispaniola about the Taino architecture. It's really the basis of all of our vernacular architecture. And I would think that perhaps our climate condition, that it's also common to all the tropical regions of the world, the basis for our identity in terms of architecture is the possibility of working within the open space. And I think most of us will recognize that as a valid statement. That, of course, is not sufficient to define and to understand Caribbean architecture. We have to deal with many issues. We have to deal with history issues. We have to deal with Spain, France, England, Netherlands. We have to deal with black and white and Negro and Chinese and Indian, Hindu people in the region. We have to deal with the Caribbean Sea and the Gulf of Mexico. We have to deal with islands and mainland territories. And it's not an easy thing to gather all of the cultural expressions in the region and put them all together in a very scientifically clean equation. architecture is not scientifically clean. It's too complicated and it's too confused. And perhaps the main characteristic of our region, and I would say it's one of the first modern characteristics of the region, it's our mestizaje, it's our mulatto, it's our capacity of being together for the first time in history, people from many continents in one place. And that is also a thing that we can recognize in the architecture and in the music. I think music, it's a very good example to work with, because that's perhaps the strongest identity expression that we have. Food also. I was invited to Bogota with Silvia some months ago to have a meeting about Caribbean, Colombian architecture. And we tried to define also the Caribbean in Colombia. You know, the view we have from the islands is totally different as the view they have from the continent, okay? And Silvia, in a very wonderful dinner, asked me, what is Caribbean? And it just came to my mind, you know? Caribbean begins where aguardiente ends and rum begins. And it begins where potato and corn ends and yuca and plátano begins. And I would say that we can also agree in that, right? So, you know, there are many ways of looking at the identity issue. I have, for some reason, to respond to the previous conferences, and I will do it very quickly. Just to finish, I think there's a very nice paragraph in this book by Antonio Benitez Rojo, The Repeating Island. I suggest you all have a reading. It's one of the few interesting books about the region. He says, for it is certain that the Caribbean Basin, although it includes the first American lands to be exploited, conquered, and colonized by Europe, is still, especially in the discourse of the social sciences, one of the least known regions of the modern world. The main obstacles to any global study of the Caribbean societies, insular or continental, are exactly those things that scholars usually adduce to define the area: its fragmentation, its instability, its reciprocal isolation, its uprootedness, its cultural heterogeneity, its lack of historiography and historical continuity, its contingency and impermanence, its syncretism, etc. I find this today's lectures, mostly in the morning, were very interesting for me to hear a talk on Cuban revolutionary architecture, especially the first 10 years. It's unique. The previous work before the revolution is so beautiful, so huge in terms of its quantity and quality, that it's precisely the most talked about patrimony of Cuban modern architecture. I welcome the new view that we have heard today here. I think it was very cleverly selected examples, very well done, and it gives us an idea of what happened, what can happen in a region when you have an island that goes to one direction, you have another that goes to the other direction, and you have another one in the middle that stays in the same place. It's more or less what we heard this morning, okay? Historically correct, and also contextually correct. And I think Marcos, my Paisano lecture, was wonderful in many ways. It's the first time someone in my country begins to understand the precisely open spaces and how the landscape has been worked in a modern way, and how it has paradoxically constituted a paradigm of modernity instead of being development and high-rise tower in our country, in Santo Domingo, besides the high towers, we can talk about green open spaces. So I think that's wonderful. You did it very well, very correctly, and I welcome that too. Then we have Miguel Rodriguez, our new dean's lecture. Very provocative, very interesting, the way he sees the Puerto Rican perspective. It's a wonderful country with many great examples of modern architecture. Miguel Toro Ferrer, Torregrosa, Henry Klum, many great authors that have been studied many times. And we have seen, for example, in Curaçao, the influence of Toro Ferrer in the Hilton Hotel, and I would say that other beautiful house by Bakker, is that his name? And we cannot forget, and we have to bring again here, the influence of Richard Neutra in the region. It has not been well studied, and it's been more very important, perhaps, in the way that all of modern architects of the region, especially the Spanish-speaking Caribbean, began to see at themselves, began to see the opportunity they have of transforming their modern catalog of forms into something in vernacular, into something authentically Caribbean. I think the influence of Richard Neutra in that sense works the opposite, as you would imagine he would have worked. And for me, the Puerto Rican experience in that sense is very valuable. I do not agree with some of his views about the political influence and how all of this sort of psychoanalysis he did on the Puerto Rican psyche is working, but I think it was done very well, and it was done with profound thinking. And I welcome that too. Then we have, in the afternoon, Jan Doucet's presentation, which is, as always, very well informed. He is a passionate man of his patrimony in the French islands. Martinique and Guadeloupe are really unique. They have very early examples that are very well considered in their culture. And I think, for example, Ali Tour's architecture in Guadeloupe and his four buildings in Martinique are worthy of an important preservation effort that I hope this meeting will help produce in the future. Ronnie Lobo's architecture presentation, also in the same vein as the Doucet presentation, is very interesting in bringing to the table here many examples of unknown architecture influenced by mostly Dutch architects in the region. I strongly suggest, if you can go to Curaçao, the Gerrit Riedel building is worth the price of the trip. Going to see there how this building has performed in, you know, 40 years, how it's exactly well preserved, how all of the natural materials of the ceilings are perfectly, no insects, no humidity, anything. It's very nice. So if you like ritual work, I suggest you go there. Sylvia saved me. He was my lifesaver for speaking Spanish. I'm sorry I couldn't get your example for doing it. But she also, you know, she's a very important scholar of Latin American architecture. And as I said, they are beginning now to uncover all of these Caribbean coast architecture in Colombia. Venezuela also has an important patrimony. And I want to close this participation of mine with one suggestion. Perhaps one of the most important countries in the region in the development of modern architecture is Panama. The influence of the canal architecture in the region is gigantic. We saw the shell buildings in Curaçao, their influence on the Panamacanal architecture. I hope there will be another meeting, and I hope Panama will be present. Thank you very much.